Any doubt about that? Now, it may be that you don't always experience the fullness, but don't blame God for that, you know. I mean, he has given us his best. And so what has to happen, we reciprocate back to God with our best. Well, today, what I want to do today is give you a brief summary of previous statements and messages, I mean, real brief, and then get into something that God has for today. Now, I'm going to continue, in fact, teaching about instruction is the way of life. I was in a conference last week in Shreveport, Louisiana. And it's so hard to get there. I had to go to Dallas and drive over to get to flights. Flights are interesting today. They don't have flights going in the smaller town. I had to drive from Dallas to Shreveport and navigate all the pickup trucks and horse things and all that. But it was fun. But the main thing was this. In the conference, Dr. Johnson sponsored the conference, had about 40 pastors there from different parts of the country. It was a tremendous gathering. And but one of the things that came out, among other things, a lot of things were said and shared, but what impressed me particularly was this, was the basic foundational truth that until we renew our minds, we don't really change. You know, we can take in a whole lot of information, and we know this, we can say amen and shout and all that, but if our mindset doesn't change, we don't change. So I want to today touch on some points with you and go a little further this week, but I want to invite you, when you hear some of these scriptures you've heard before, when you hear some of these statements you've heard before, even some of the new things, you need to think about, Lord, thank you for your word. But as we've always taught you, the Bible says that if we are only hearers of the word and not doers, the Bible says we have a condition of deceiving ourselves. Say self-deception. What's a deception? Deception is thinking that I'm going to benefit from what I've heard just by having heard it. The reality is, if I don't act on or somehow apply and, you know, and do the thing I've heard, then I'm not going to change. So the deception is I'm thinking I'm changing by hearing messages and being in church, but in fact, I'm not changing at all until I do the word. So that's what a mindset or mind renewal says. I'm gonna find a way, Lord. Help me. Give me grace to put into action what I hear. All right, church? Now, let's begin. We first dealt with a message entitled The Amazing Power of Agreement. That was the first message in this series. Genesis 11, 6. Turn there, or it's on the screen. All right. And let's read together 11th chapter of Genesis and verse 6. Then the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this. Now, you're not reading with me. You going to change the slide, dude? All right. Well, read after me. Say this. Say, if the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. And God's talking about the people trying to build a Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel was the wrong thing at the wrong time. But because they were in agreement, they were going to do it anyway. So God said, I'm going to come down there. That's not what I want done. And God said that because the people are as one, that is, they're in agreement, amazing power of agreement, they began to do this, and now nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Powerful principle of agreement. And so even God acknowledged that. If we don't stop this, they're going to build this tower. We don't want this thing built. So they came down and confused the languages. And then the people could not agree, and therefore they could not work together and build a tower. Right? Now, in Matthew 18, look there. Just turn to your Bibles. Turn to your Bible. You got a Bible still, right? The old-fashioned way. All right, Bibles are there. In Matthew 18 and verse 19. Now, Jesus said, again, concerning the amazing power of agreement. He says, again, truly I say to you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they shall ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather together in my name, there I am with them. Now, when you read this text in Matthew and look at Genesis 11, it's saying essentially the same thing. Same thing. Agreement will produce amazing results. When people agree, things happen. Difference was, in Genesis, it was the right principle at the wrong time. But here in Matthew and today, it is the right principle at the right time. Amen? So we should be in agreement. We should come in agreement in at least as two or three. The more the merrier. But when we agree, Jesus said, if you agree, whatever you ask for will be done for them. That's a very bold statement. I mean, we could agree that God could fill this house in 6 months. We could agree on that, right? I mean, there's a number of things. Anything that's in the will of God, we can agree. Because, in fact, here's the deal, that we oftentimes say, God, you do it. No, God says, I want you to agree first. Then I'll do it. Because, see, God has to work. God chose to work with us. We are laborers together with God. So that whole message there dealt with the power of agreement. And we gave you this statement. Now is the time for the Lord to release his full measure of blessing upon those who dare to agree to do God's will. When you dare to agree, God said, I'll give you my full measure of blessing. Say full measure. That goes with couples, individuals, ministry teams, and the whole ministry. When people of God agree in this way, God wants to release something great. Then we share with you a prophetic word that God gave me. And it went this way. The Lord said, I've given you my best. I expect the best from you. That's what God said by his Spirit. I've given you my best. Now I expect the best from you. And that's the way it should work, isn't it? We do media camps. We give the young people our best best cameras we have, computers, software, best instructors. We sit down, we give you our best. We expect the best from you. And guess what we get? We get the best. When people understand understand the investment that's being made, they oftentimes respond. But how much more? How much more to recognize the investment that God has made in your life? Has he ever healed you? Was it the best healing? Did he calm your mind when you were upset about something? Was it the best calming you ever received? You ever talked to a whole bunch of people and got more confused and then talked to God and got clear? Wasn't that clarity the best clarity? Wasn't it better than all them people? The best. He said it. I've given you my best. I expect the best. Now, if God expects it, I intend to give it. How about you? Also said this, going on, stretch when it is easy so that you will be able to do so, read it correctly, stretch when it is easy that you will be able to do so, come on, read it right, boy, stretch when it is easy that you will be able when it is difficult to do so. Yeah, all right? So, hey, if God says be on time, to whatever, when it's easy, be on time. Because when the snows and rains, it's going to be hard to be on time. Told you my story. I got fired one time my whole life. One time I got fired when I was a kid. Really? Long time ago. Twice. I got fired twice. Twice. Okay. Working for UPS. And I came late to work a couple of days. I was not saved. Say he wasn't saved. That's a big point. And it was snow and ice. And I had been late when weather was perfect. I was late to work sometimes. Well, this day I came to work and I had slid off the road. I got back on the road, got to work late. Boss says, you late. But dude, I slid off the road. Boss said, I did too. And I'm here on time. Oh, I said, oh. See, so you better stretch when it's easy. You better stretch when things are easy, because when it's difficult to do so, it's going to be harder to stretch. Next statement. Resist the temptation not to act when it is in your power to act. So you have the opportunity to do something, to act, similar to the first statement, really, but you know, it's in your power or ability to take an action, and you sit back, you know, and in fact, there's a temptation not to act, and you don't do anything. And that sets you up for a difficulty later. So don't cave into the temptation of not obeying God. Last statement we gave you in that message, in that part of the message was, do not let past disappointments define your future. Don't ever point back and say, well, I would do that today, but you know, 5 years ago, it didn't go so well for me. Oh, don't go there. Well, I would try that, you know, but last week didn't work too well. Last week, this is today. It's a whole new day. The Bible says to forget what's behind and reach it. Listen, how would you live your life today if you had no memory of all your past mistakes and failures? How would you feel today if you had no memory? You chose not to bring to mind the past mistakes. You'd be a whole lot more confident. So be confident, because God has forgiven your past. Hey, have you repented of your sins? Have you asked God to forgive you? You made some adjustments? Well, why keep looking back? Part two of the message, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look there. We talked to you about, had a long title. It was the perfecting power of your anointed assignment. Say, the perfecting power of my anointed assignment. I know it's a little long and sound a little fancy, but there's a real meaning behind that statement. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll just read here verse 20 to save time. You read verses 17 through 21, but I'm reading verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God are in him, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now watch this. Now he who establishes us with you is Christ, and he who has anointed us is God. And Paul is talking about his assignment. And Paul said earlier there, he doesn't make plans according to the flesh. He says he makes plans according to the Spirit of God, that there should be no yes, yes, and no, no with him. He said that because God, all the promises of God are a yes and amen. So listen, if God is yes and amen, if God is clear and firm, why shouldn't we be clear and firm? I mean, if it's yes, yes. If it's no, no. Don't just be always in the middle. Make up your mind. What you're going to do, you know? Make a decision. Take a decision. But he says here, verse 21, but he who establishes us with you. See, Paul as an apostle was established with the people he was serving in Christ. Then he said, he who anointed us is God. With every assignment comes an anointing. Your assignment is the reason for your anointing. Your anointing is your God-given ability to serve his purpose and fulfill your assignment. And anointing isn't only, well, it's the power of God in action. The anointing isn't a style. The anointing is the grace and power of God on your life, given to you to do something for him. You got that? So your assignment from God is always anointed because it's from God. The thing is, we have to discover what it means, discover what that power looks like, how it should operate through us. Also, we said this to you, that your anointed assignment is more than a sum of your talents, education, connections, and jobs. Now, I'm educated. I got 3 degrees. I'm going to get another one sometime down the road. You know, fine. I'm highly educated. I'm not the dumbest person you ever met. I promise you. But without the anointing, I am the dumbest person you ever met. Okay. Without acknowledging God's power, God's grace, all I got is me. You know, you don't really want me without God. Amen? So here's the other statement I'll make to you then. That people who have an anointed assignment become perfected by the instructions and the discipline required by the assignment. So if we give you an assignment that we need you, let's say, to paint this room, that's a pretty big assignment. And let's say, oh, here it is. Let's say if the walls were like dark blue, you got to paint the walls tan. That's going to be some serious work because you got to do primer coat and 2 coats of paint. You got to prep the wall. In other words, there's a certain amount of discipline and focus and attention to instruction that come with an assignment. See, it's a perfecting power because it focuses you. When you're assigned, you have a focus about you. The people who are not assigned don't have. People without assignments, they stay up all night. Amen. They go anywhere, hang out. What you doing? Nothing. You're always doing nothing. All right, so all these nothing folk getting together doing more nothing. Now, they got jobs. They got jobs and stuff. That's all they got is a little job somewhere. See? But the anointed assignment, it brings the power of God. It brings a focus and a discipline required by the assignment. Accepting and committing to your assignment will change your whole life. When God called me to preach the word of God, you know, I was in a prayer, fasting and prayer season in November of 1978, way back in 78, long time ago, prayer and fasting. And Lord dealt with me. And then next day I was in art school, in art class, and sitting there, you heard the story before, but the Lord spoke to me in the art class. Now, I'll tell you something. That day, I left the art class. I left the John Heron Art School. I didn't re-enroll the next semester. I was through with that and began to pursue. My whole life changed. Everything changed, okay? Everything changed. I mean, my work, my education path, my habits in terms of desire for the word. Now, listen, it isn't that those who are preachers have to have all this focus. All of us should be equally focused on Jesus Christ. Being called to ministry isn't the only thing that should. That's my assignment. What's your assignment? What focuses you? What assignment brings the discipline and the instructions that you need to perfect you? Think about that. Because here's the consequence of not having the assignment. People without an assignment only end up seeking pleasures in the things of this world. Right? Yeah. Just rolling around in the car, going to the mall, whatever, then to the movie theater. I mean, without assignment, we're very predictable. We're gonna go shopping, we're going to go eating, we're going to go have some fun. You know, fall off in church every now and then. Do a little something. You know what I'm saying? You know, we all get together, somebody died, we come to the funeral. I'm there. I mean, we're there, but not on a daily basis. So the perfecting power of your anointed assignment, it brings a great focus. Say focus. Okay. Amen. All right. Now, last week and this week, it's the same topic. Instruction is the way of life. Now, go to Proverbs. If you know what, before that, Romans 12. I got to touch on this thing about renewing the mind. Let's come back to Romans 12. I'm going to give you Romans 12 in three different verses because what the Lord really impressed in my heart from the conference last week, among other things, is to challenge us and to say to you that until our mind changes, until we do the word that we're hearing, until we apply in our lives in some way every day what God is saying to us, man, we are not going to experience success and progress. Bible says that. Bible says as much. And so that what I'm really concerned about with these past weeks of teaching, with future teaching, is that I wish I could just have like a class setting and where we could just like do a quiz every week or an exam. Somehow you tell us, okay, what did you learn last week? How did you apply it during the week? And all of us just like, take turns and share. I mean, the whole service, just talk about what we have done to respond to God's word. That'd be a long service, though. It's a problem that we can't, But I need you to recognize, in the absence of us actually doing that, I want you to receive this in that same spirit, that we're not just coming to church. We're not just church folk having church. Amen. We are kingdom people serving God's purpose. Now, here's the first rendering, Romans 12 and 1. The New Living Translation, if you can see it. Here we go. Thank you, bro. It's there. If you can see that, read with me. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let, living in holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will what God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. That's powerful. That's New Living Translation. Get this now. Let us, he says, I plead with you. I mean, we preachers, we plead. It's called preaching, really it's pleading. Pleading with you for Christ's sake, amen? To give your bodies to God. Listen, if God gets your body, he'll get your mind and your spirit. Anybody's body not here today, the spirit won't get anything. Amen. Unless they get the tape or something or, you know, webcast. Now watch this. Because, he says, give your body because of all he has done for you. God's best. Why do I give myself? Because of what he's done for me. God's best. My best. Simple equation. He says, let us be a living and holy sacrifice. The kind he'll find acceptable. See, God won't take anything. We think he does. We pretend he does. God says, okay, I need you to serve me. I need you to pray for this, over the situation tomorrow. And you get up in the morning and say, oh, Lord, bless it. He don't really accept that. You think you did something, but he didn't accept it. You know what I'm saying? I did. I prayed. That was a prayer? That was like yawning. That was like, you know, saying grace. Or, I mean, just pick the situation where we offer somebody something in which we sometimes are told that's not what I'm expecting. Now, sometimes people are real nice to us. Like, you know, like children make little stuff. Oh, that's cute, you know. Like I told you years ago, my, you know, kids were small and the teacher gave our children, one of the kids got a good grade on something. And she brought it home, and he brought it home, whatever, and Pat saw and said, what? You got an A for that? And Pat was back up at the school saying, don't give my child an A if it isn't A work. Huh? Don't let me know. It's a little child here, and a little black child, and keep me encouraged. Don't lie to my child now. If it's a F, you flunkies behind. You know what I'm saying? So he'll understand what A work is. My point is sometimes we offer stuff to God, don't get feedback, don't ask for feedback, and think it's acceptable. How we worship, how we pray, how we serve, sometimes God says, not acceptable. Well, getting quiet in the church. Been quiet for a while. Y'all all right? Yeah. Okay. But he says here, this is a great translation of this text. It says, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a whole new person by changing the way you think. If we don't change how we think, we don't change. Behaviors don't change. Patterns don't change until we change how we think. And that's a whole topic we'll get into, Lord willing, next week. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Then you will learn. Even how you think affects how you understand God's will. Listen, your mind is the gateway to your spirit. It is. I mean, you know, God, you think he's talking direct to your spirit and your mind knows nothing about it. Oh, no. No, no. If your body and your mind isn't receptive to God, your spirit is going to miss out on something it needs. Your inner man will miss because the gateway is, you know, your eyes, your ears, your mind, your soul is the gateway to your spirit. And if we're all jammed up in our soulless realm and not focused and paying attention, man, we're going to miss a lot of good stuff. I've been reading books. I've actually sat and read books and turned pages and I don't know what I read. I got to go all the way back. Got to back the whole thing up and read with a mindset, right? I have listened to messages on CD. I've been listening to things, and I'm listening. Yeah, yeah. What did he say? Told you, you know, Pastor Brian Keith Williams was here preaching years ago and told a story. He's a preacher, hooper, hacker type, you know, and he can go. But he was preaching one day and tuning all up and he started saying hamburger. Hamburger! Folk kept saying amen. He was saying hamburger in a, you know, in a real preacherly way. He said, oh, everybody stop. I said hamburger. See, they weren't listening anymore. They were so caught up. They were so into the mood. It happens all the time in many areas. So he says we have to renew our minds. We have to change how we think. How we think. And that would change your life. Say, if I change how I think, it would change my life. Then you will learn, he says, what is, you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and perfect. Now, the New King James Version, which with which we're familiar, says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That version we know so well, we just buzz right through it. Now, Message Bible, Romans 12. Message Bible says this. This is a paraphrased version, but it's very good. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's called a paraphrase. That's somebody's opinion of that verse, but it's pretty good. That's pretty good. Say it's pretty good. He said, take your everyday life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. Not the church life. Not the come to church, suddenly go to meeting life. You know what I'm saying? We leave all the stuff under the seat of the car, you know. I never forget a guy was preaching one time in my granddad's church. His brother preached up a storm, man. Left us all on the ceiling. We shouting up in there. Thought, man, what a man of God. I watched this guy, man. First thing, he got out and got his smoked up, you know, fired up on the church sidewalk, smoking. I thought, wow, he just smoked. Then in the car, reaching under the seat. Got something out, man. I thought, oh, no. Man. I mean, to this day, I mean, I like good performances and preaching, but I ain't impressed with nothing no more. I mean, people can do stuff, y'all. You think that it's all anointed. And it could be anointed from the standpoint of what God gave them. But see, the anointing to preach is not the anointing to live holy. Holiness is completely separate from preaching, singing, and all the rest of that stuff. In fact, it's so much different until people wind up in heaven talking about, God, we've done all these works in your name. Well, we've preached, we've prophesied, cast out demons. He said, I don't know you people. I never knew you. And that's incredible. That's incredible that people did all this stuff, quote unquote, for Jesus. He don't even know who they are. So that just keeps me in the fear of God. Like, okay, God, keep it real, baby, keep it real. I mean, my everyday life, my walk around, what does it have to say? You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. You better place it up all on the altar, amen? Powerful stuff. It says here, it says that we should focus our attention on God. My. So again, it's all saying the same thing. That renewing the mind is getting a mindset that puts us in a position where we can receive instruction and where the instruction changes us, where the assignment affects us the way we've got to have it to affect us. Here's the definition of mindset. What is a mindset? A mindset is a belief that affects somebody's attitude. So let's say, you know, if my mindset is, take an example, let's say if I'm just a racist kind of guy, don't like white folk. Black folk can be and are racist. It all not going the other way around. A lot of black racist people, they don't even realize sometimes, okay? They just racist as everybody else. All right, it happens. But here's the point. Now, if I'm a racist, I see a white person, I got a bad thought like, yeah, he's trying to take something from me. Trying to get over on me. That's a mindset. That's a mindset. It can be anything. It happens all the time. Now, a mindset is also, it is a habitual or a characteristic mental attitude that determines how you will interpret or respond to situations. Well, that's pretty strong there. Habitual means this is how you it's a habit now. Habitual or characteristic mental attitude that determines how you will respond in situations. That's why I'm telling you, I mean, I'm through complaining about stuff. I mean, it's snowing. But so what? It's snowing. Why should my whole day change because of a little snowfall, a little snowflake, or a lot of snowflakes? My attitude, or if it's, you know, it's a recession on, price of gas went up or whatever, you know, didn't speak to me today, trying to discern why he didn't speak to me today. I mean, I'm always on the lookout for somebody trying to diss me. My radar is up, he dissing me, he dissing me, he dissing me. You know? I mean, I was in art school, man, and I turned an assignment in, and the professor said, this is not acceptable. I said, you are racist. I called a guy racist because he didn't accept my assignment. He said, no, I'm not racist. This is a raggedy assignment. But he told me, this is raggedy. It's not good. He came right back at me. He's always on my case. Like, this is not good enough. There's a fingerprint on that. Had a big thumbprint one time on artwork. So it's a thumbprint. So what? I mean, my mindset was, I was a freshman, first semester, right out of the hood. Thumbprint, stuff wrinkled, what difference does it make? I'm here, ain't I? I mean, thank God for folk who don't tolerate that stuff from you. People who know you can be better, you will be better, at the risk of being called a racist. He wouldn't let up on me. Now, finally, I got the revelation. See, this man trying to help me. Then, when I got it right, he praised me for it, but not before it was right. That helped me as a young man. See, so understand that mindset. If your mindset is not right, I used to be really sloppy. I mean, my mother called me. What was that guy? There was a show on years ago, The Odd Couple. Oscar Madison, okay? One neat guy, one sloppy guy in the same house. I was a sloppy guy. And so mom called me that guy, huh? Oscar. Oscar Madison. Oscar, I was a sloppy guy. And I got better, praise God, you know. I'm doing much better nowadays. I'm a recovering Oscar Madison. Now, when I clean stuff, I go crazy. I'm all behind stuff. When I start cleaning, it's going to be crazy in there. I'll go completely berserk. I even get a magnifying glass out, so I can look at it. I found a trick for that. You take a camera lens, turn around backwards, it's a magnifying glass. I'll go there. Yeah, I know OCD. I know that, a little bit of that, too. I'm also recovering OCD, too. All right, move right along. I got many levels of recovery. OCD is obsessive compulsive disorder. All right, so then. At least I got it clean. My point is this. Listen, when you change, when your mindset changes, your life will change. And all the power of God, all the great preaching, everything that God does, and bring all the best he brings to us won't help us until we give God our best in terms of changing our mind, renewing our mind. Whatever phrase you want to use, it has to happen. Say it has to happen. He says here, in this version says, to readily recognize what he wants from you and to quickly respond to it. That's a big one there. Man, you got to respond to God like this. I mean, God, get in the habit, show God that you take him seriously by doing whatever God says, do it now. As soon as you can, get right on that. Amen. Don't put God on the schedule. Put your other stuff on the schedule. Amen. Put the rest of your raggedy life on schedule, but put God first. And the raggedness will go away. He'll help us in every area. Won't he do it? I mean, sometimes, you know, people are more disposed to neatness, and sometimes people, because of, you know, they go to the military and they get straightened out there sometimes, you know. But some of us, man, just muddle through life. Got to have the Lord help us and send people on our path, because the fact is this, it's a mindset. This organization and lack of scheduling, all that, it's a mindset. It has to change. It has to change. Now, Proverbs 10:17. Let me touch on some scriptures from last week, and we'll get you out of here as soon as we can. If I go too long, that won't be good for you. So I'm gonna, but I want you to get a hold of this whole principle of renewing the mind, mindset, whatever you want to call it. Attitude has to change. In fact, an attitude is defined as a personal view of something. Attitude is a manner, disposition, feeling, position with regard to a person or thing. Tendency or orientation of the mind. Amen. Amen. See, I'm learning. I'm learning to be, my attitude has gotten much better. Year by year, I mean, I'm a pretty good person now. I'm pretty good. I don't get mad no more, just say whatever. Every now and then I get a little upset, but, you know. I mean, I was in an airplane yesterday, Friday. Coming home from Dallas to Kansas City, on the flight there, and now Southwest is like, you know what Southwest is like. It means it's all open seating. So they give you like a little herd. They got like A herd and B herd. So you line up according to your herd. When your herd is called, you go on the airplane. Take any seat you want. Now, you want to get in the first herd if you can. A herd is the best herd. So I'm in the B herd, okay? And so I'm in the B herd, and so I wind up on row 20-something, but I got an aisle seat and an empty seat and a guy beside me, and it's all filling up now. And then the last of the B herd comes, then the C herd come on the airplane. All folks in the C herd have to sit in middle seats. Middle seats, worst place to sit. And so they're coming in, and I got my camera down in the middle. I got my coat there. Other guy got his stuff there. We're going to claim this seat. So, you know, so the B herd can't get in there, right? Well, somebody came in late, two young ladies, and one of them sat in the middle seat in front of me. So her friend asked for the seat beside me. I was buckled in, had my headphones in, had my iPad out. I'm sending a message. Like, I'm occupied. I mean, I'm trying to tell folks, don't even ask me. I got my camera in the seat. The message is, don't ask me about a seat. Oh, no, she got my attention. Sir, can I sit there? I stared at her. She said it again. Can I sit there? Come over here, have a seat. She said, no problem. This is an hour flight. She sat down. No problem. Hold on now. There's a point to this, okay? Mindset. Now, in the old days, I'm like, hey, look, sit up there. I mean, there are seats up there. There are plenty of seats. Why are you sitting there for? And also, there's skinny folk up there. Sit beside one of them skinny people. Anyway, now she wasn't fat or anything like that. I mean, you know, I need some room here. Okay, anyway. Now, she sat down. Watch this now. I'm going somewhere. First thing happened before the plane took off, her friend is turning around. talking over top of the seat to her friend behind her in the seat beside me. They're talking. I said, no problem. Just talking. Friends talking. When the flight starts, they'll quiet down. Oh, no. Plane takes off. They still jabbering. I said, well, you know, I got my headphones. I can't hear them. I'm like, well. But then she met some guy in the terminal. He was sitting across from me in the aisle seat. Just met this guy, she told another guy, half hour ago. They hooking up, look like. So they're talking across me. I'm like, well, no problem. I got my headphones in, you know. Then this guy is passing some juju beans around. He got friends on the other side. He passing big plastic bag of beans, jelly bean type things. Then he hand the bag. He passed the bag over and holds his arm out in front of my face. Got the bag in front of my face. Girl are reaching into the bag to get beans out. All in front of my face. And ain't saying nothing like, sir, excuse me. There's nothing. I'm the invisible man. I ain't even in there. Mindset. Then I had this rush of indignation come on me. It just like, if I felt flush like a woman or something, man, like menopause. Oh, had a hot flash. No, they didn't. That little dude did not reach in front of me with a bag of jelly beans. But I didn't say anything. I just like let it happen. And I said to myself, well, so what? I don't really care. It's a 1 hour flight. Be over in a little bit. So I said, but they kept on talking. Didn't pass the beans anymore. But they kept on talking, 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 talking. Then I finally said, dude, you want to change seats? You want to trade seats? He said, am I disturbing you? I said, let's trade seats, man. So, okay, we trade seats, and that was the end of it. See? I was really sweet. I'm telling y'all, now what would you do? Now what would you have done? What would you have done? Huh? I'm telling you, this deal, my mind got renewed a long time ago. I told y'all, I taught you about the Nabal factor. Don't kill a fool. It goes on your record. All right. You found Proverbs 10 yet? I'm almost out of here. I got to go. Proverbs 10, 17 says, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. So this whole deal with teaching you about getting over to you that instruction is the way of life, please hear that, church. Whatever God says, whatever good people tell you, whatever you know is right, that's your instruction. You got to do that. If you don't do it, the Bible says you go astray. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. But it says here that and reproofs of correction, or I should say reproofs of instruction, are the way of life. Well, if we aren't being instructed, we are not in the way of life, the full life that Jesus Christ promised us. You believe that? Proverbs 1:17 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you show me a person who despises being instructed or being corrected or adjusted, that's a person who is foolish and not wise. Proverbs 8:10 says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Here's a big test. Here's a big one right here. Money, stuff, I mean, man, possessions. What will get your attention quicker? The promise of $1,000 or the promise of an instruction from God? Where would you go first? Door A, $1,000. I raised the stakes. Door A, $10,000. Door B, some instruction from God. You don't know what it is. Just something from God. What you going to take, A or B? I'm taking B and then A. Amen, church. Why can't I have both? All right. But no, really, we have to, and listen, you're going to come to a point where you got to choose between something of the world and then something from God. It's going to happen. It's going to be a test. You better show God, show yourself that, Lord, my heart is for you. I'm for you, Lord. Proverbs 12, 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Wow, I think that's New Living Translation, but yeah, that's strong. Now, don't call nobody stupid. Don't state the obvious. Just let it ride. Read the scripture and don't say nothing. Just say, read the scripture. Better yet, sometimes when I got to deal with people, I just give them the reference. You know, you get a chance to read Proverbs 12:1. I'll leave it at that. That's all you got to do. Right? Then they can't blame you, right? Huh? You called me stupid. I didn't. Holy Ghost must have called you stupid because you read that scripture, didn't you? Uh-huh. You read it and you felt that. Proverbs 15:32. Proverbs 15th chapter, 32nd verse says, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. One thing I can take, y'all, I can take rebuke and correction. I mean, I can handle it. I can definitely handle it because I know the value of it. I mean, if I'm wrong on something, you showed me some passage, whatever scripture, I'm sure, oh, man, thank you. I love to be corrected because I love understanding. Amen? I'm not too proud to say I was wrong. I need God more than to be right. I need understanding, don't you? Well, there's so much more. Let me just hit the next slide there. I'm not sure what's there. Let me see what's there. I got some points to make. Next one. Next. Next. All right, stop there. And look at 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, we gave an example last time of Isaac. The Bible says Isaac, well, it was a famine where Isaac was living. And so the custom was, if it's a famine, leave and go somewhere else. God said, don't leave. Stay right here. Stay in the place where I told you. And Isaac stayed there. The Bible says, and he sowed in that land and got a hundredfold return in the same year. So God blessed where he said. He followed the instruction. Now, in this example here, the widow in 2 Kings 4, it says there, a certain woman, verse 1, of the wives of the sons of the prophets came to Elijah, crying out, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and a creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Verse 2, Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? He said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. He said, here's the instruction. He said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you, you and your sons, and pour it out into the vessels, the oil out into those vessels, and set the vessels, and set aside the full ones. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there are no more vessels. So the oil ceased. And the instruction was, you got a little bit of oil? Go get some vessels, start pouring. And the miracle was, as she poured, right, more oil came out, right? But the instruction was not to get a couple of vessels, right? Go get a whole lot of them. Get from your neighbors. And so, but the consequence of the instruction not fully obeyed was she didn't get all the vessels she could have gotten. And so that when the last vessel was filled, the oil ceased. Listen, y'all, She could have had a lot more oil had she got more vessels. Learn to follow instruction. Man, listen, if God told me, Brian, get some vessels, I'm like calling all of y'all. How many of you guys? Paula, what you got? Paula, Bertha, what you got? I'll be there, okay? I got a church van, I got a U-Haul truck. I'm going to get everybody's vessel. I'm going to get all this oil. If it's a miracle happening, it won't stop because I refuse to get more vessels. You follow me? See, sometimes the things of God in our lives stop because we don't want to do anymore. We don't want to give God any more containers. Don't want to go any further. We're tired. I'm sleepy. Well, if you value the instruction and the result of it, you're going to do all you can do. It's a time to end. It's time to stop. I mean, but she could have had more oil, I believe, had she kept getting vessels, right? So, again, that's an example of an instruction received. And next slide, please. Your season won't change until your attitude regarding instruction changes. Say, my season won't change until my attitude and mindset regarding instruction changes. Now, you know, I send out these emails and I've got these blog posts, and I know y'all don't read them sometimes. I know you don't read all that stuff. All right? But you better read that stuff. You ought to read it. Ain't a whole book. It's like this long. If God give me something to give you, you ought to read it. Amen? Because there's probably something in there that's going to help you. That's the way our attitude is. Like, Lord, I'm going to receive everything from the people I should receive from that I can receive. I'm going to take it all in. I'm going to listen to instruction. I'm going to follow instruction. I'm going to let you do all that you purposed in my life to do that regards obeying instruction. Next slide. We'll finish up here. Receiving God's best and giving God your best requires following instructions. Say that. Say, receiving God's best and giving God my best requires following instructions. Amen. Now, Father, I ask you right now to give us a new mindset. Lord, not just a mindset when we're in church services or in some other kingdom business, but Lord, give us a new mindset, Lord, even as we go about our everyday life. Lord, as it says in that one text, as we go about, Lord God, our everyday life, Lord God, our going to work, walking around life, let that life, which is the same life, by the way, let that life, Lord God, which is the same as the life we have in church, it's just one life we're living, let our life be an offering that's pleasing in your sight. And if we receive instruction and do what you say, Lord, then we will certainly be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Let it be, Lord. Thank you for the instruction. Thank you for the assignment. Thank you for the agreement. Now help us, Lord, as a church to develop and grow and become the people you want us to become. And we thank you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll give God some praise in this house. Glory to God. Oh, come on, stand and worship God. Say, Lord, thank you for your word, for your instructions. Help me, Lord, to change my mindset, change my attitude, change my disposition, so that my life may change. Thank you, Lord. Your spirit empowers this change. I'll receive it. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we thank you, God. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. If anyone does not know Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to today acknowledge him. He died, but he lived a holy life, sinless life. But he died because of sin, not his own, but our sins. He died, was buried, rose again, suffered a cruel death. But he rose from the dead, victorious over death. offers life to you. New life. It's a gift. So if you don't know Christ as Savior, you want to receive new life, you want to be changed, it begins with receiving Jesus as your Savior, Lord.